Georgia. This is my wife, Sine. And yeah.
Yeah, we thought when we were asked to say something today, we sort of said, okay, well, let's just share our story, because I think that's where it all started. And there's a lot that we discovered in our relationship that we wished we knew before we got into a relationship. And I think that links nicely to what we're doing today here. It's just, we hope that it comes through today. Is there's something that we wish that we could have known before we even started dating, but we were young and we didn't know these things, so that's fine. So from my side, when we met, I was 18. We were both 18 at that stage. He was 17.
He was younger.
Sinead's like 3 months older than me.
Ever 3 months older. Anyway,
every single year, as soon as it's her birthday, she's like, "I'm
a cougar."
Anyway.
So, when we met, I didn't really have a good idea of what a relationship should look like. I was just told from friends and family and sort of what I heard in church and everything like that. And at that stage, my parents were separating. So I also didn't have a good example of a good marriage, really. I didn't really have even friends to look up to, really, that I could be like, yo, this looks like a good marriage. This is even a good couple dating relationship. I didn't really have good examples. So I just sort of formed my own perception around what it should look like just from what I had around me. And I actually didn't really have a tick list at all. I couldn't say that I had one, but I knew that my only tick list item was that, okay, the guy should at least believe, I think. I think that's the one thing that I knew he should be, or he should have that. And being young, I didn't really think about it too much or deeper, really. So yeah, I think that's basically what I had.
Yeah,
mind.
Just before we started dating, I'd been in one relationship and I think one or two flings, but everything was based on worldly knowledge. It wasn't based on word or on relationship. It was purely worldly knowledge, influenced by Hollywood and what culture says about relationships. And at that stage, we met on an outreach and I was the worship leader at that time. I wouldn't say, if you asked me point blank if I truly believe in Christ, I'd probably be quiet for a bit and then say, instead of a yes or a no. So that was also interesting. And I saw Sune when she walked into our first meeting at the church hall for the outreach. And I saw this beautiful lady walking in and I'm like, all the worldly side items started to check, she's pretty awesome, cool. And my first proper, I think, impression was I like this.
I must be honest, I saw him and I was like, from everyone in the room, he's definitely the most attractive. But the question was, when we met and he opened his mouth. He wasn't a trick and he was very arrogant. He knows this. It's all right.
Yeah, I've heard this quite a lot, so I had to get used to it. But yeah. Especially when we went on the outreach, I just decided I want to pursue her. And every single thing that I tried, I think, only pushed her further away. So I tried to be more arrogant. That didn't work. At that stage, I was swearing quite a lot, so I swore even more. That also didn't work.
I fell on bad ground.
I started blaspheming.
Yeah.
That also didn't work.
No. There was a lot of stuff, and I think in all of the tick boxes that I might have had in my head, he didn't tick it. But for some reason, he didn't push me away as I thought he should have. And I don't know what it was at that stage. I don't know if I was just stupid. But No, but I think the first thing that stood out to me when we actually started having good conversations, he one night he was like, I was really like, you need to stop swearing because this is getting a lot, and we're like on an outreach. And then he basically said, so what would you do if I started blaspheming? And I was like, I can't be friends with you then. And then that evening, he sent me a message where he actually apologized because he said he thought about it and he realized that it really isn't cool to blaspheme and everything like that. But in that moment, I realized he went to think about it, and he was honest about it. And it was only on the bus ride back that he started to sort of get away his walls, I would say.
Yeah, so the evening before we start, well, drove back to Cape Town, I think that was one of my turning around points, where I realized that I had a bunch of questions about religion and about different things. And I realized that the one mistake that I made is I went to all of my atheist friends and I asked them for advice. And that wasn't a good idea, logically. So that night I made a decision to, okay, let's give this thing one more go and let's properly pursue God and pursue relationship with him. And I think that's what.
Yeah, because then when we had conversations after that, I could see he was truly honest in what he said. So him trying to impress me and the arrogance and everything sort of fell away because I could see he was honest, he was true in what he was saying. And that's when I knew I could trust him, because even through us talking and everything before we really started dating, he was always honest with me. So that was one thing I think, like, yo, okay, honesty is definitely an important thing. But again, we were very young. So there was a lot of stuff when we started dating that we didn't knew. We sort of took what we still thought we knew about relationships into our relationship because we didn't really have guidance on it. And honestly, we should have maybe gone to a single seminar or something like that. But it was, I think, 2 years into our relationship. So Jacques lived in Belleville at the time, but when they moved to Sally's, he started coming to Grace Life with me, and we started serving together in church. And I can't say that it was like one day, like this is the change. It was definitely us growing into maturity in our relationship with God, but also seeing good examples of what good marriages look like. And not even just marriages, friendships. I was so refreshed by seeing what a good friendship looks like, what a godly friendship looks like, and what a godly marriage looks like. And from that, we realized that there was a lot of stuff that we had to change in our relationship, in a good way. So I think it naturally flew at one day, like we came to each other, we were like, so we always bicker about this one thing. I think if we change this and if we make this choice today, that will go away. And it did. We literally, I can say it felt like pressure was from our shoulders lifted, because we just made a mind shift of like, how are we going to glorify God? That was our key question. And I think that was the key in not just our relationship, but in our friendships as well, is we saw that if that stays our key question, how do we glorify God? That's gonna,
Yeah, I
yeah.
think we also realized that being in a relationship is awesome, but like John Mark said, we need to find happiness within ourselves, and we need to be rooted in the word, and we need to base everything that we have on the word. And if you don't have that foundation, then you're probably not in a good place to go into a relationship. So we realized that, and we realized that we had to spend time, one, trying to figure out what was a godly relationship. And I think the base like definition that we got was a godly relationship is a relationship that's rooted, that's based on the word and has relationship with God as two individuals. And now the two individuals are coming together, and that's what makes a beautiful relationship. And I think one of the things that we also realized was we have a calling, and that is to share the gospel and to share God's word. And that's the primary calling. Like, you can be in a relationship and you can be in a marriage, and that's awesome, but that has to glorify the primary calling. If it doesn't glorify the primary calling, then maybe get out of it.
Yeah.
Like it's or ask some really deep questions to see how you can fix this. Because
yeah.
it's not
And I
supposed
think
to be that.
John Mark hit it on the head there. It's like if you are if you you should also be able to glorify God and the calling in your singleness as well. Because if you can't do that in your singleness, how can you be expected to do that even dating or in a marriage? And that's something we realized when we were dating. It's like, what are we doing here? Why are we dating? What are we doing? And that was the key question. What are we doing towards the bigger calling?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, in our friendships, like you said as well, you can do that in friendships as well. In all relationships that you have, is how can I, basically work towards the calling of of God.
And also, I think a relationship should not only just glorify God in what it's doing, but how it's doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be focused on, okay, cool, mission, awesome. But if you don't have a good relationship with someone and there's no love in that relationship in terms of godly love, then it's good getting the word out there, but how you're doing it is also not good. Like you need to be rooted throughout the whole process, I think, which was also something that we realized. There's a scripture that you...
So 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, I'm just reading from the Amplified. So then whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of our great God. It sounds so simple. I mean, just glorify God. And I think sometimes we think like, how do I do that? Like, how do you glorify God? But it's actually so simple as soon as you start maturing in the Word, as soon as you get to know God, and as soon as you really step into relationship with Him, that becomes clear. It becomes clear how to... Even in your eating and your drinking and whatever you do while you're brushing your teeth, like, thank you, God. Like, you can really glorify Him in everything because He gives you so much. And it's just that thankfulness that flows from that.
Yeah. So after realizing that and being in community where we had good examples of godly relationships, we started to ask ourselves, so how do we prepare ourselves for a godly relationship? So this is actually like a question for all of you. We've done it. So is take a moment and in your mind, make a list of every aspect that you'd like your husband or your wife to have. And forget about the worldly things. Forget about
physical.
The looks, the physical, all of those things. Think about being rooted in Christ, being mature. Sinead kept on telling me I actually
just give
need
them
to give
time
time
to just quickly
to
think
make
about
the
it.
list. So anyway, so as a believer, your list will most likely include things like, I'd like the person to be a believer. I'd like someone who's rooted in the Word and who has a relationship with God, and someone who understands their purpose. And when we speak about purpose, we mean sharing the gospel. Also in life, what they want to do they have aspirations for what they want to accomplish? And then the answer to that whole list or the next step is, if you put all of those different boxes in a person, wouldn't that person want the same person? Like someone who's rooted in the Word would most likely want someone who is rooted in the Word. A believer would most likely want a believer. So for all of your different checklists, like go through those things and critically ask yourself the question, like, am I this?
Yeah.
And if you're not, like, let's grow into it.
Yeah, it's not a condemning question. Let me just come to say that. I don't think it's supposed to condemn us. I think, as Jacques said, it's supposed to let us just think about, how can I grow now? How can I be the person that I would like? The person that I would like to have friendships with, the person that I would like to marry, the person that I would like to influence. So, yeah, just also a verse that I think goes good with that is 1 John 4, verse 19, and I'm reading it from the Passion. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. I love that it says grateful response. It's amazing to know that we can only do that from a place of love that we've experienced from God. So, yeah. And I think that it becomes easier. It becomes easier as we grow with Him. But it's only something we can really, like, it will only be easy with when you understand fully what His love means.
Yeah, and
His nature.
I think, like Sinead said as well, it's not something that's supposed to be condemning and condemn yourself in regards to, okay, I'm not this or I'm not this. It's more just to ask yourself the question. It's not supposed to put any burden on you, but if it does, like, question that as well. Like, why is this thing, like, why is this condemning me? Because that is most likely an opportunity to grow. And if it's something that you realize this is not an opportunity to grow, then you also know that that specific checklist is maybe not something that should be on the list. But yeah, so the last thing we had was, how are we glorifying God through our relationships? And we said it earlier again, but we need to glorify not only God in what we do, but how we do it as well. And I think as we matured and as we grew in relationship, one specific verse that was a turning point for me, but also for our relationship, was Matthew 6:33, for seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I feel like this is the answer to all of the questions above in regards to how do I prepare, what is a godly relationship? It's seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God first. Seek His relationship first.
Yeah.
Marriage is great and it's awesome, but if you don't get married, that's also fine. God called us to share the gospel. He didn't call us to get married.
So I think that brings us back to the root question that we want to leave you guys with today. It's just, are we glorifying God in what we're doing? So, and I think you'll be convicted in your relationships. You'll come to a place where, even in friendships, I've had friendships that I sort of had to break because it wasn't glorifying God, which was sad, but it was needed because it wasn't growing the kingdom. I was being held back as well, and that person was being held back. So are we glorifying God? And I think, again, God gives us the Holy Spirit to give us conviction. He gives us guidance through that. He gives us community, gives us the word. So there's so much that we can go and build on to grow in that. But also, how amazing is it to know that we don't have to feel pressured. We don't have to feel pressured to, who are we going to marry? What are we going to do? This is like, it's a pressure-free environment, because we know that if we only focus on our relationship with Him, all the rest will flow. Seek first, and all the rest will flow. It's, I think a lot of people might say, like, it sounds so easy, but it is that easy if you really put your focus on Him. So, yeah.
And like a quick last story. So Sune and I got engaged in one of our Stellenbosch pre-service meetings. And the reason for that, so ironically, I went to Peter and I asked him, listen, so this is what I want to do, and this is the date and everything. He's like, okay, awesome. Shane is preaching that weekend, so do you maybe want to move it out with the week? And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. So we moved it out a week, and it happened to be the day before Sune wrote one of her biggest exams. Chartered exams.
Yeah.
So she really didn't expect it, because it was the day before her exam.
He's very, very clever.
but anyway, so when I asked Sune to marry me, after all of this and what we've gone through and as we matured, I'm not saying this to put myself on a pedestal, but what I asked her was, do you want to continue to serve God in our marriage? Like in marriage, do you want to continue to do what we're doing now, but in marriage? And that was super important for me, because going through all of this, it was a thing of, yeah, I think Sinead said it a bit earlier, but if you're not serving God in your singleness, then you're definitely not going to serve God when you're married or when you're in a relationship. Like, it's not something that changes.
Thoughts when you get married.
In our case, it did. But that's because the both of us made a deliberate choice to let's start focusing on this. We need to make a shift. And that's why we did it. So, yeah. Relationships, are amazing, but a relationship is two wholes coming together. It's not two halves. It's not you being like, I struggle with this and this. So I need someone who doesn't struggle with that, but they struggle with this and this, and I don't. So now it doesn't work. It needs to be two wholes that comes together and glorifies
God. We trust this teaching has blessed you and enriched you in your faith. We want to invite you to contact us online, www.gracelife.co. That's www.gracelife.co. You can find a whole bunch of free teachings online. You can also find out how to partner with us should you wish to support this ministry. And you can find out how to contact us if you have a prayer request. We invite you to contact us, www.gracelife.co.